From the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri, this is A Time of Hope.
Our opening hymn is hymn 121, Angels We Have Heard on High.
Let us pray together. On that not so silent night, you came to us, Mother and God, like a night nurse on the pediatric floor, to gather us in your arms and swaddle us in your hope. On that not so silent night, you came to us, child of humanity, to be cradled with the lost, to share a stable with outsiders, to confront the bullies who threaten our children. On that not so silent night, you came to us, Spirit of joy, to lift us up and carry us to salvation, to help us persist in praising God, to share our lives with us. Be with us in all the nights and days to come, God in community, holy in one, even as we pray as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Our special music is Reverend Andrew Lovin's trumpet rendition of Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
Our prayer for illumination is led by Carol Barber.
Heavenly Father, may the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be pleasing in your sight, our rock and redeemer. Amen. The epistle lesson this morning comes from the second chapter of Hebrews, reading verses 10 through 18. Kind of remember that in Hebrews, the writer is trying to convince the Jewish Christians that the Jewish people and the Christians, that everything is better with Christ. The old covenant was good. The covenant that Christ made is better. So we're looking at comparisons, and it's always with Christ, it's better. For it was fitting that he, who for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the pioneer of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sacrifices and those who are sacrificed have all one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will proclaim thy name to my brethren. In the midst of the congregation, I will praise thee. And again, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children of God and the children God has given me. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same nature, that through death he might destroy him who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong bondage. For surely it is not with angels that he is concerned, but with the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make expiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered and been tempted, he is able to help those who are tempted.
Our New Testament lesson today comes from Matthew chapter 2, beginning at verse 13. Now, after they had left, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother by night, and went to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Out of Egypt I called my son. When Herod saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, he was infuriated, and he sent and killed all the children in and around Bethlehem who were 2 years old or under, according to the time that he had learned from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what had been spoken through the prophet. A voice was heard in Ramah, wailing and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be consoled because they are no more. When Herod died, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt and said, Get up, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who were seeking the child's life are dead. Then Joseph got up, took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was ruling over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And after being warned in a dream, he went away to the district of Galilee. There he made his home in a town called Nazareth, so that what had been spoken through the prophets might be fulfilled, he will be called a Nazarene. This is good news from the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The morning message by Reverend Andrew Lovins is Back to Reality.
Well, it's real easy to kind of get down and a little bit flat after Christmas is over, because we've had our celebrations and we've had our meals and our time with family and we've had our presents and our gifts, and now we're getting about that time where we have to think about taking down the tree and taking down the lights and putting away the leftovers, and Christmas is over, and it can kind of feel just a little bit sad that Christmas is over. But it's not just that way for us. In our text today, we see that Christmas was over for the Holy Family. It started with a bang and with much celebration. But then here we read in the text that Mary and Joseph and the baby Jesus, they weren't going to be allowed to hang around Bethlehem for very long. because Herod was insecure. And he was worried that Jesus would grow up and take his power and his authority away from him. So he sends out soldiers to find the child, to kill him. And so Jesus and Mary and Joseph, in obedience to the dream that God gave them, escape into the night and flee down to Egypt. And Herod does what Herod does. He takes every child 2 years of age and under and has them slaughtered. Christmas is over. And we're grateful. We're grateful for the promises of God. We're grateful for Isaiah's prophecy that we would have love and joy and peace. All of these things. Hope is born because Jesus, God incarnate, has come to us. We're happy that Emmanuel, God with us, has come and has been born. And now everything's different, right? Now everything's better. Now the whole world is saved because of Christmas, right? Not so fast. Because the truth is, when Christ was born, he just established a beachhead for the kingdom of God. He just got things going. And the baby would have to become a child, and the child would have to grow and become a man, and the man would have to teach and preach, and then that man would have to offer himself as a sacrifice for our sins, and then that man, Jesus, would die, and he would rise again, and he would leave us with a commission, right, to pass along his teaching and his example to others. So because of Christmas, the kingdom of God is here and the kingdom of God is now, but not yet. Because the consummation in the fulfillment of the kingdom of God awaits a future time when Isaiah says the government will be upon his shoulders and peace will reign all over the universe. So what do we do in the meantime while we're waiting for the fulfillment, while we're waiting for the consummation? What do we do then? Well, I think that we need to do what Joseph did in our story. Joseph, if you recall, was first given a dream saying, the child that is in Mary's womb is from the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to take her home as your wife. And Joseph believed, and he acted on his belief. And then again, after the child is born, the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph again and says, look, Herod is wanting to kill the child. Get up. Take the child and flee to Egypt for their safety, for his safety, for your own safety. And once again, Joseph, in faith, not only hears the message of God, but he acts on it in obedience. And that's what faith is all about. Faith is not just something that we have up here in our heads. It's not being able to quote some scripture or say the creed. It's more than that. It's knowing in our head, but it's obeying with our heart. That's real, genuine faith. That's what it looks like. And Joseph has a lot in common with a biblical character in the Old Testament by the name of Abraham. Remember Abraham? The father of the faithful. And God said to Abraham, if you remember, Abe, leave your country, leave your father's house, leave your relatives, and go to the land I will show you. And in the next breath, it says that Abraham left, went out, not knowing where he was going. He immediately, in faith, obeyed. And a little while longer, we hear another commandment from God to Abraham. God says, now, Abraham, you say that you love me, but now I want you to show it. Take your son, your only true son, and take him to Mount Moriah, and I want you to give him up for me there, on top of the mountain of God. And in the next verse, it says, Abram got up the next morning, saddled his donkey, and went to the mountain of God, intent on obeying God. Joseph was cut out of that same cloth. He had faith, but it was more than just, you know, I believe in God, I believe in Jesus, I believe in the will of God, and the word of God. Yeah. No, he believed so strongly that he acted on what he believed. And not only did he obey, not only did he have faith, but we see in Joseph that he cared. He cared. One part of the story of Christmas that has always mesmerized me is Joseph finding out that Mary was pregnant. And when he finds out that Mary is pregnant, he knows, well, I didn't do that, because I know our relationship. And like any human being would, he begins to assume the very worst. She's gone out on me. She's betrayed me. She's rejected me. She's been deceitful. And you know what Scripture says? Scripture says, this is a powerful verse. Scripture says that Joseph had in mind to divorce her quietly. To divorce her quietly, but because he was a righteous man, he didn't go out and drag her name through the mud. He had in mind to divorce her quietly because he did not want her to be exposed to public shame or disgrace. Wow. Think about that for a second. Here's a guy who thinks that he's been cheated on, that an act of adultery has been committed against him, and his reaction is not, oh, now I'm going to show her a thing. Now I'm going to ruin her life. Just the opposite. Scholars say that Joseph was probably a lot older than her, and knowing that she had her whole life in front of her, his attitude was, well, I'm going to keep this quiet. I'm going to keep this quiet so that she can still have a future. Where do you think Jesus got his tenderness and his compassion and his love for sinners? Perhaps he learned a little bit of that from Joseph. The fact of the matter is, us guys, we really like to think that we take care of our families well. And we really like look at ourselves as providers and protectors. And, you know, my dad was great at that. He was a great provider, a great protector, and I'm appreciative of that. But sometimes we can get it in our heads that we have done our whole duty simply because we go out and we hold down a job and we earn a paycheck and then we give that over to our families. And that's the way that, you know, that's the way I'm a man. That's the way we are men. And sometimes we think we've done all that we need to do simply because we've done that. Reminds me of this woman who goes to her husband. They've been married 30 years. And the woman says, honey, do you still love me? And he says, babe, I told you before we ever got married that I loved you. And if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. And sometimes we guys are like that. We don't think that we have to meet anyone's emotional needs or love needs or needs for affection and tenderness. And yet, it is incumbent upon us as men to say to our daughters and our sons and our wives and those that God has brought into our life, we have to give them more than just, here, babe, here's some money. Go knock yourself out. No, we really need to tell them, I love you. You're precious to me. I want to take care of you, not just your body and your physical needs and not just, you know, shelter and food. I want to take care of your heart, right? I think that that's what a real Christmas does. When that Christmas is deep within, it makes us want to love somebody with our whole being. Yes, it's having faith and it's obeying, but a real Christmas, when it's deep down in our heart, cares for the other at an emotional level. It was about 10 years ago when I was watching CNN, and Jesse Jackson was on there, and he was talking about how he had been to the University of Southern Mississippi and toured the campus, and he told this very interesting story about how one day he was touring the campus with the president of the university, and over under a tree, he saw this very tall, young African-American man, along with a tiny co-ed who was about 3 feet tall. And he was observing them, and it was obvious that they had a very tender and affectionate relationship. And it was about time to go to class, and this very tall young man who was an athlete bends down, and he kisses this little girl on the cheek, and then he sends her along to class. Jackson inquires of the president what's going on there, and the president says, well, those two are brother and sister. And when they were young, both of their parents were tragically killed in a car accident, and so they were left alone. And that young man is one of the finest basketball players in the entire country. He is so good that he could have gone anywhere he wanted to go. But he chose to come here to the University of Southern Mississippi because we offered his sister a scholarship. And he wanted to be around to help take care of his sister. And he wanted to graduate and go to school with his sister because he knew that she needed him. That she needed a father figure in his life. And so Jackson went up to that young man and he told him, "That's great that you take care of your sister like that." And the young man said, "Well, those of us that God made 6 feet eight have a responsibility to take care of those that God made 3 feet three." And friends, that's what this time of year is all about. Yeah, it's about faith. It's about trust. It's about obedience. It's about all of those things that are so important. But it's also about caring. Caring for each other. Caring for the people that God has brought into your life. Some time ago, I read the true story of a man who had gotten off work, and he was walking home from work at night. And he was walking through the park to get back to his apartment. And as he's going home, he comes across a bush. And as he passes, he hears this scuffling behind the bush. And it's obvious that someone is being attacked. Someone is being abused. And he pauses, and the sound of this young lady's voice, along with her assailant, the sounds are getting stronger and heavier. And it's obvious that the young girl is frantic, scared for her life. And then he pauses for a second. What should I do? If I get involved, you know, I could be another statistic myself. And I have a family of my own. No, I can't get involved. I can't do anything about it. Then he starts to walk away and then he stops. He thinks, well, maybe I can get on my cell phone and I can call the police. And they can come and they can rescue her. And he's about ready to dial the number, but then he thinks, no, I can't do that because by the time the police get her, she'll be dead. What am I going to do? If I don't do something, I'll never be able to look at myself in the mirror again. But if I do something, you know, I could lose my own life. And so in a flash, in a moment, he finally decided, I'm going to get involved. He puts his cell phone in his pocket, and a power comes over him that he's never felt before, and he jumps behind the bush. And he grabs the assailant by the shirt and he throws him down and he swings a left and a right and another left and they roll around on the ground for a few minutes. And finally, he overpowers this girl's attacker, and then the attacker finally gets up and runs away. He gets up and he brushes himself off and he looks for the girl where she's at. And he sees her a little bit off in the distance, hiding behind a tree, and she's shaking and she's obviously in shock because what has just happened to her. And so he tries to comfort her and he speaks to her. He says, "It's okay. He's gone now. You're safe." And then what he hears next rocks him at his core. Because out of the darkness, he hears these words, "Daddy, is that you?" It's the voice of his youngest daughter. Now, what would have happened if he decided, "I'm not going to get involved. This is not my concern. Somebody else is going to have to deal with that. I have a family of my own. Kids I got to take care of." He would have never been able to live with himself after that night. And that's what Christmas is about. It's not just about faith. It's not just about obedience. It's about caring. And we do need to care for our family, right? Scripture says that if we don't care for our family and those closest to us, that we're worse than unbelievers. It says that. So we do have to care for our family. But the gospel reminds us that we have to extend this love and care beyond the circle of our own few that God has given to us, and that we need to see every person that we meet as our son, our daughter, our wife, our husband, our brother, our sister, our mother, our father, because we're all connected. Everyone is made in the image of God. All of us at some transcendent interior level are family. I know it's hard, right? It's hard. There's something within us that wants to protect ourselves, not take a risk. And yet John put it this way. He said, God so loved everyone who comes to church. God so loves the people who ate Christmas dinner with you at your table this year. No, God so loved the world. God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. And so as Christmas is over, and as we pack away the tree, and as we take the lights down, and as we consume the last bit of the leftovers, and as we deal with the blues that come with all the after Christmas stuff, let us remember that Christmas is not just a date on the calendar, but that Christmas is a state of mind. It's a spirit, the Holy Spirit that we wish to consume us every day of the year. And let us ask ourselves, do I have faith? And if I have faith, is it obedient faith? And let us ask ourselves, do I care? Do I care like Joseph cared for Mary, for Jesus? Do I care like that? Let's pray. We thank You, O Lord, for the opportunity to come on this day to love You. We love You because You first loved us. Now help us to let that love overflow to others. Help us to care. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
We're glad you joined us in this time of hope. If you don't have a church home, please come and grow with us at the United Church of Christ of California, Missouri. Sunday school starts at 9:30 this morning, with church following at 10:30. Until we meet again, may God bless and keep you.